Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing here is what it seems. You've been chasing after empty dreams. This world's been lying to you, pulled you further from the truth. Took you to a cold place, filled your heart with disgrace. Isolated all alone, you can't even go home. Left you there wondering how you ever got like this. You got like this. Oh, but just hold on, don't you go losing it now. The sun will shine and help you find your way out. Your breaking heart pounds like thunder. The waves, they try to pull you under. Don't be afraid, he said. There's nothing to fear. The price was paid when he shed his blood and tears. The lightning strikes will make it hard to see through. But he will calm a storm inside of you. In this life, it's sink or it's swimming, it's so to give in. Picks you up when you're vulnerable. A thief in the night, it tries to steal your soul. And it takes you to a dark place, fills your heart with disgrace. Isolated all alone, you can't even go home. Dirty looks from everyone, you're wondering what you have done, what you have. Try to pull.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Reaching Out Radio. Tonight, your host is Minister Darlene Morgan.
She has an anonymous guest tonight. She's going to be doing a powerful teaching on depression and anxiety. May God bless the work going for tonight here in Reaching Out Radio. We're reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Montel. Good evening. This is Darlene Morgan from Edwardsburg, Michigan. And we have a serious problem in the United States of America, and that is depression and anxiety. It is very real and very serious, so serious that a lot of times people will take their own lives because of depression. In an average week, 50,000 people across the United States will visit a therapist, and 75% of these people will have either clinical depression or some sort of anxiety disorder. What I find interesting is God gives us a case study in clinical depression in 1 Kings 19. From this text, we find that Elijah experienced many of the classic symptoms of depression, which is loss of interest, feeling rejection, sleep problems, sadness, difficulty concentrating, agitation, restlessness, fear, difficulty in gaining energy or excitement in your life, and hopelessness. Elijah experienced fear. He was afraid and ran for his life, as we read in 1 Kings 19:3. He also had suicidal tendencies. Elijah prayed, actually, that he would die. He told God, "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." 1 Kings 19:4. He had excessive tiredness as well. Then he lay down under a tree and fell asleep, we read in 1 Kings 19:5, for a couple of days. He was suffering from feelings of rejection. "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty," he said, "for the Israelites have rejected your covenant, Lord. They have broken down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." 1 Kings 19 and 10. He experienced this depression for a long time, nearly 2 months. Now, what's really bizarre about this situation is just days before Elijah had preached one of the greatest sermons of his life, he confronted 400 prophets of Baal on the Mount Carmel. He exposed them as the false prophets that they really were. And because of Elijah's faith and obedience, God literally sent down fires out of heaven to consume the sacrifices they had placed on the altar. Then a few hours later, God sent a downpour of rain on a land that hadn't had rain for 3 years. So the big question is, why would a man who had preached such an impressive message and had experienced some of the most powerful displays of God's power suddenly be crippled by fear, hopelessness, and despair and depression? Why would he run away to a desolate corner of the world and seek to die? There's probably all kinds of reasons, but the fact is that he did. And that's what this tells us in the Bible, that even God's most dynamic servants could suffer from depression and anxiety. It's not necessarily a mark of a lack of faith. It's not necessarily a mark of an immoral lifestyle. For Elijah was the man of God in his day. And now he comes to the point that he is so far down in the depths of despair, he don't even know what up is and down is. But let me tell you, that's not where God left him. God didn't say, "Sorry, Elijah, you have a chemical imbalance and Paxil hasn't been invented yet. So sorry, I can't help you." No, long before psychiatry was even thought of, before healing could even be bought in a little purple pill, long before clinics, psychiatrists, or psychologists were around, God healed men of depression. And it was not an isolated incident. And what God did for Elijah and many others in the Bible, today he can do it for you and me as well. I want you to know what God did to heal Elijah. God first recognized Elijah's depression was not an imaginary problem. Elijah's depression was real, as ours is today, and it is tangible. God didn't say, "Get a hold of yourself, Elijah. This is a sinful attitude. Where's your faith?" No, he didn't treat Elijah rough. In answer to Elijah's prayer to die, God just lets him sleep. Then God woke him up and sent an angel to feed him and sent him back to sleep. God did not talk to him. God did not counsel him. God told him, "Be still and know that I am God." Then God eventually healed him. His healing was to send him to church. God sent him to Mount Horeb, the mount of where the law was given to Moses. People, church is the best place to deal with depression and anxiety. When church is done right, it's the place where we listen to each other and we help each other. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the laws of Christ. It is written in Galatians 6:2. Back in 1999, Duke University conducted a study of nearly 4,000 older adults. One of their conclusions was, attendance at a house of worship is actually proven to lower rates of depression and anxiety. But church doesn't just stop by going to church and being in a house of worship. You need to take time alone with God in prayer and daily read the Word. That is a very powerful antidote for depression and anxiety. Three things that you should know about depression. Number one is that the devil knows the very moment to attack us with depression, especially vulnerable when our bodies are tired and weak. This could be the very cause for your depression today. Perhaps your day is overly filled with tasks and you don't take time for your body to rest. If you are a child of God, your body is His temple. It is a holy place. Do not be careless about your physical needs. This brings dishonor and disappointment to God. We need to make time every day, whether it's 5 minutes or 20 minutes, to relax and spend time alone with God, our Creator. We need to pray, study His Word, and worship Him. We need to take time to thank Him for all His goodness. Then, not only are we helping our physical bodies, we are helping our spiritual bodies and minds. And when we stay prayed up and worshiped up, Satan cannot enter into our minds. I have an anonymous on the line tonight that's been through depression and suicide thoughts, and I would like to introduce that person now so they can tell about the feelings and what brought them to that point in their life.
Am I on?
Go ahead.
Yes, I had been abused many ways as a child, and I'm already above 50.
You're breaking up, and I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was abused as a small child, and I'm now in my 50s, and I've suffered from depression for 45 years. Sometimes I've been able to mask it, you know, with a painted on smile, or I've often sought out help through drugs and alcohol, and became an addict.
I cannot hear you. You have a bad connection.
Okay, I was abused physically and sexually as a child, and you know, I'm now in my 50s, so about more than 40 years now in my life, I've suffered from depression pretty much all the time. But you know, sometimes I've been able to cover my feelings with you know, just that fake painted on smile and acting like everything was okay and nothing bothered me. And I was just lying to myself and everybody else. At other times, I sought out the aid of drugs and alcohol and became a pretty bad drug addict and alcoholic throughout my life. And I've gotten help through counseling, through medication, and through doing my meetings. Am I being heard? I don't think my microphone's open.
Yeah, I can hear you, Dean.
Yeah, I've been a drug addict for most of my life, and you know, it's now been around 4 years since I've had to resort to those methods to find my peace. I was never allowed to be a child of God when in my earlier years. I've only recently found God, and you know, it's just been struggle all my life. You know, and I just act like everything's fine and dandy, and everybody says, "Is there something going on? Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just hearing." I've been told that I'm not being heard over the radio.
I can hear him.
Minister Darlene she's let me know that I can't be heard. She's not hearing me.
Maybe it's her connection because I can hear you.
Okay. But, you know, many times people said, "Are you okay?" And I'd lie to them and tell them, "Yeah, I'm just fine. There's nothing wrong with me. I justified what I did and how I did it just to satisfy my own." You know, I wanted to numb the pain. I wanted to numb the anxiety, the depression. I wanted, you know, when I was feeling low, I would use something to get me up high. And when I was feeling too high, I would use something to bring me back down. And it was not a way to go about living my life. I was living a facade. And it was very sad. But, you know, I recently tried to take my own life. And it was because I felt so all alone, like I've always felt all my life. The voices one of my parents that always used to call me a failure. I keep hearing it, even though that man is dead. Father, you know, he used to always tell me, "You're never going to be anything. You're never going to amount to anything. And you know, why should you even try to do anything in your life? You're worthless. You're no good." And I started to believe those things. So I never allowed myself to seek out a high goal in my life to prove anybody else wrong. I should have just gotten mad and said, "I'll show you." But, you know, when I said, "I'll show you," I showed them how I can ruin my life rather than make my life happen. But God has rescued me from that, and I'm very grateful for that. Our host,
when did you first realize that Satan was attacking your mind with depression?
Oh, many years before I even found God. I just knew that there was something different about me, and I listened to demonic music, AC/DC, Metallica, stuff like that, and you know, I identified with that, and I don't know, I just did everything I could to try to feel right in my own skin. And I just felt uncomfortable in my own skin. So I sought out the use of drugs and alcohol to numb the pain. I just didn't want to feel anything anymore. I was tired of feeling. Because every time I felt something, it was a painful feeling. It was anger. It was anxiety. It was depression. I just felt hopelessness. I felt loneliness. I mean, the whole rainbow of feelings. I felt them all, and I didn't want to feel that. So I sought out every chance I could to find something to feel different. And it was only temporal. It didn't help. I've tried many years ago. I tried cutting my wrist. I took 12 stitches. There were 3 underneath and 9 on the top when I cut my wrist, and that didn't get me the help I needed. I was crying out in pain, and nobody was listening. I felt so alone. I just felt abandoned by everybody, including God. I believed that there was a God, but I just didn't see him present working in my life. And I didn't think that I had anything that I could give God. And I didn't think God wanted anything to do with me because I was just garbage. And you know, that was my whole story all my life. I felt like I was just nothing. I felt like I was less than nothing. I just wanted to disappear and isolate and hide out in, and not let anybody see that I was hurting. Because to ask for help would be admitting a weakness, and it just is too painful. I go,
"Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness." People need to open the Word of God. When Satan attacks us, again, we've said this through so many shows, that the battlefield is the mind. He comes through our thought process. He tells us we're no good, we're unworthy, we're never going to amount to nothing. People that look different or talk different get made fun of, and they're depressed and anxiety and try to hurt themselves. That's when they need to call out to God and read the scriptures. There are so many scriptures that tells us that God is there for us. Satan attacks us in our victories as well as in other areas of our life, especially when we're doing good and doing the will of God. That aggravates Satan to beyond his point. He will try to fill your mind with doubts. He tells us we didn't do it for God's glory. We're doing it for our self-recognition. He makes us feel low, takes away our self-esteem, and makes us feel unworthy. But my friends, don't let Satan steal your joy. He is the master of deception. He is the biggest liar on this planet. John 10:10 tells us that he comes to rob and kill and steal. And again, he does that through our mind. And he uses every little minor event in our lives to cause depression, anxiety, and fear. It creeps in our lives when we least expect it. Paul's words to the Christians at Corinthian church tells us, the person who thinks that he is standing strong should be very careful, because he might just fall. That's in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Again, we need to stay focused on the Word of God and in church and around people that we can associate with that has the Word of God in them, so that we can keep our minds focused on God. For where the mind is open to God, it blocks the door for Satan to enter in.
Amen.
And I know that you had tried suicide more than once. And I'm just wondering how you called on God, or if you called on God in them moments before you tried to do that.
No, the last time I tried it, which was just like less than 2 months ago, I had actually felt like I was back as that little six-year-old boy that was being sexually and physically abused, that had no one to listen to, that God wasn't there. I didn't even know God. I reverted from my own current age to 6 years old, and I just felt so all alone, and you know, my self-esteem went down to zero. I had no way. I wasn't even capable of reaching out.
So sad that depression does such bad things to us. It robs us of the many good qualities of life that God intended for us to have. This is Satan's plan, and it is very vital for us to recognize this. Depression also comes from only thinking of ourselves. When we spend more time alone, not doing anything, Satan can enter our minds. When we go and start to do things for others and serve other people and serve in the community, it puts joy and peace in our minds that we're doing good for others. And again, that's another way to block Satan from getting a hold of your thought pattern and causing depression and anxiety.
Yes, there was a period of time when I was actually out. I had an online ministry where I was actually helping other people. I was getting out of my own head and doing things that would help other people so that I didn't have to face my own feelings.
The plague of depression that's sweeping across America and the United States, it is not the Beijing flu or the common cold. It's not even cancer. But depression and anxiety can be as deadly, if not even deadlier, from these that I have just mentioned, because, again, it brings people to the point where they have no hope and they take their own lives. And a lot of times they take the lives of others. And it's a sad, sad situation that God has been taken out of the schools and out of the workplace and out of the military. You're not even allowed Bibles no more. It's sad that people kill and try to hurt themselves and do bad things because of depression and anxiety because they can't have a Bible. And then they end up in prison, and that's where they're handed a Bible. People, we need to stand up and fight for our rights as Christians and get the Bible and get prayer back in our schools, back in our workplace, back in our communities before it's too late. Too many people are taking their lives and lives of others because of anxiety and depression and fear. Time we stand up and get the word back. Because Amen. Without God, this world is nothing. In the Journal of the American Medical Association, it was quoted that there is more suffering that resulted from depression and anxiety than any other single disease affecting mankind today on this earth. That is a very, very sad situation. 50% of all our teens in school are hopeless. They have fear, anxiety, depression, eating disorders. Again, I can't stress enough, we need to get the word back in our schools and our communities. And there's a lot of people in the Bible that went through these. David was one of them. He wrote in Psalms 43, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." David knew by taking his focus away from his own thoughts and troubles and shifting his mind to God, God would heal him and give him peace. Even Jesus in the Bible experienced discouragement and depression in the Garden of Gethsemane. It tells us in Matthew 26:37-42, when Jesus said to his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Please stay here and keep watch with me." Taking the scripture a little further, Jesus fell with his face to the ground and prayed and worshiped. He knew that trials, troubles, and temptations would come to test his faith, yet he never let Satan overtake his mind with unbelief. He was fully persuaded that God's will would allow him to triumph over any problem, any person, or any power on this earth. Another one in the Bible was Job. Job experienced such awful troubles that he cursed the day he was born. Even his wife told him, "Curse God and die." But Job refused to give in to this misbelief that bad things could not happen to good people. And the Lord blessed him with faith, love, charity, wisdom, and influence throughout his trials. And at the end of Job's life, in Job 42:1-2, he said, "Now, Lord, I know you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be stopped." Again, people, I encourage you, take out your Bible when you get up in the morning and read the scriptures. When Satan comes against you and tells you you're unworthy, there's no hope for you, tell him, "Jesus said I can." When Satan tells you you're worthless, you're never going to amount to nothing, tell him Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me."
Amen.
Don't sit and be depressed all day. Be in your bed and be tired. Get out and go in the community. Go to a mission center and help feed the hungry. Go talk to people in the park. Pass out Bible tracts. When you do for others, again, you'll be amazed at the joy and the peace that you find in yourself. Forward. go into a laundromat where you see elderly people doing their clothes and put a couple quarters in their dryer randomly. Go into a supermarket, and when you see an old lady pushing a cart out, walk up and help her and lift them bags out and put them in her car for her. You will feel so much better in your life and in your mind when you're helping others. You just can't imagine the peace and the joy that comes when you lend out your hands to others.
How true.
And I know for my caller, now that you've been in the Word, has that been helping you?
Oh, yes, indeed it has. I every morning I take out my Bible and I take out my highlighter and I read some of the Psalms and highlight a bunch of stuff. I mean, my Bible is changing colors as I speak. I feel joy when I read the Bible.
If we have callers out there, people listening, I would encourage you, don't be embarrassed or ashamed, because there's help and there's hope and there's people on this line that can pray with you. The number is 347-308-8837. And there's people here that love you and will pray with you, and Jesus loves you. So again, if you're listening, call 347-308-8837, because there is hope.
For most of my life, I felt like I had no self-worth. I had no confidence in myself. I just had no self-esteem. And I just, I felt utterly hopeless and alone. And, you know, and a lot of times then depression would fall in. I wouldn't even want to be around other people. And that would just make it worse.
Now, was that from your parents telling you you wouldn't amount to nothing, or peers at school or people at jobs? What brought about your depression?
Well,
or
was
it a total of everything?
The fact that my brother, who was older than me, had raped me for 3 years. My dad always telling me, oh, you're no good. You're never going to amount to anything. I mean, I still sometimes hear his voice coming out of my head telling me, you know, whenever I do something wrong, I'd be like, see? My dad was right. And, you know, and it's still, depression still plagues me. Anger, fear, it's just period of pain. But I have counseling sessions now that I go to, and I take an antidepressant in the morning, and I've developed a sleep disorder. Sometimes I couldn't sleep for days. Now I take something at night to help me rest, and it's been helping a lot, and being in the Word and doing all these things. And now that I've began my recovery meetings again, that's also an avenue where I can share how I feel, and nobody judges me or any of that stuff. And it's been helping a lot.
People don't realize how bad depression is in the United States. Again, teen depression is affecting approximately 50% of our children and teens at any given time, according to the American Academy of Children and Adolescent Psychiatry. Depression causes difficulties in their schooling, difficulties in their relationships, decreased enjoyment of life, and at its worst, again, depression leads people to suicide or to killing others. It's a very serious situation in the United States. And there are so many different forms of depression. I have like 5 or 6 forms here. One of them is major depression, the severe symptoms that interfere with your ability to work, sleep, study, eat, and even simply enjoy the simple things in life. An episode can occur once in a person's lifetime, but more often, a person will suffer several episodes throughout their life.
Or throughout their day.
Yes, or throughout their day, you're correct. Persistent depressive disorder is a depressed mood that lasts for at least 2 years. A person diagnosed with this depression will have major episodes. Some forms of this depression, they will have hallucinations. They will see and hear things that other people can't see and hear. There's postpartum depression, which most people just call the baby blues. For women after giving birth, but that's a hormonal and psychological change in their life. And it occurs when people have children and even sometimes when women don't have children. There's one that was really interesting to me that was called seasonal affective disorder, also known as SAD. This is characterized by the onset of depression during the winter months. When there is less natural sunlight, it's a proven fact that depression generally lifts during spring and summer. SAD may be effectively treated with light therapy, but nearly half of the people with SAD do not get better with just light therapy alone. They have to be put on antidepressant medications as well. Bipolar depression is another one, or also called manic depression. One minute they're up, the next minute they're down. Doctors can do brain imaging through MRIs to show that brains in people with depression look different on the x-rays than people without it. Even though they can detect depression, they cannot always detect the reason why. A lot of times depression comes through families, through generations, through their genes. Or it can come through other factors like traumas in their life, like you was mentioning about your brother when you was little. Depression and anxiety can come on from loss of a loved one, a difficult relationship, or any kind of stressful situation can trigger depression or anxiety. Some of the scriptures that I found on depression to help you is Philippians 4:8. It tells us, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Don't think of your past, things that happened to you before. Think on today. Think on the possibility of your future for tomorrow. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged or depressed. That's in Deuteronomy 31:8. Psalms 34:17 tells us that the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them and He will deliver them from all their troubles. Again, I can't stress enough, when your anxiety comes on you, or Satan puts in your mind depression or doubtful thoughts, get on your knees and pray. Seek your Creator, the one that made you. He made us with a sound mind, not a mind of confusion or fear. That is not of God. That is of Satan. And we need to rebuke him and tell him, back off. You have no power. You are defeated on the cross. Jesus died a crucial death for us, so that we could have life and have it more abundantly, not for us to walk around with our heads down and in depression and thinking suicidal thoughts. There's so many children and adults nowadays slicing their wrists, hanging themselves, overdosing pills, because they feel there's no hope left in this world. We're living in the end times, and it seems like nothing can help. But I'm here to tell you that God is all powerful. With man, things are not possible. With God, all things are possible. And you need to call on your Creator and ask Him, clear my mind of doubt. Clear my mind of negativity, Lord. Give me a sound mind and a sound spirit, Lord. Give me a pure heart. Rebuke Satan daily. Don't give him a chance to creep in your mind. Keep your mind focused on praise, on worship, on helping others, and in the Word. Satan don't have an inch or a half an inch or an eighth of an inch to be allowed to enter in your mind. When you are prayed up and worshiped up and doing good for others, he cannot get in your mind because your mind is so full of goodness, there's no place for him to creep in.
I hear you there. But, you know, when I was in my depression and in my disease of addiction, you know, I always sought out relationships that I thought would cure me, would help me, and you know, the failings of those two relationships, two lousy marriages and things, you know, I was actually, my depression made me incapable of feeling love. And it's just recently now, since I've discovered Jesus and he's given me a new life and a new spirit, that I've been able to feel love, and it's just the most remarkable feeling I've ever had. And, you know, when I think about the people I hurt the last time I tried to take my life, sometimes when I go to bed, I cry myself to sleep because of the anguish I caused those people.
And people don't realize there is hope and a way out. And they don't realize, yeah, that's the way out for them if they commit suicide. But what about the people left behind? They have to go the rest of their lives worrying, was it something I said or didn't say? Could I have stopped them from doing that? Was it my actions or not my actions that caused them to do that? That's a serious situation, and people don't realize that.
Yeah, but even those feelings that other people may have when I did what I did, you know, it was me that did it. So, you know, I really wouldn't hold them accountable.
Do we have the Don't Give Up on Me song available, Montel?
Yes, I do. And I also see that there's a caller on the line from area code 83T. Sorry, I'm so tired. I apologize. I'm out from being at the hospital with my mom. There's a caller from area code 832. If you have a question or a comment or need prayer or anything, you can press 1, and that will bring you into the studio. And before I share that, I know there's a lot of people, too. I've been listening to you talk, things some of my own loved ones have been through, and I've been listening to your guest tonight. A lot of people go through post-traumatic stress disorder, too, and many times there can be things and situations they're in that will trigger that in their minds, and it can bring onset. And one of the things that I've learned being around the people and that go through that and things that happen is right when we're going through something, we need to pray. And something else I want to encourage people in, one of the biggest battles is with the mind. Right now I am going through the hardest trial I've ever been with in my life. This week I got to see my beautiful mother be diagnosed with esophageal cancer. My mother weep when she was told about it. I seen her go through things, but God started rising up a strength in me, and I went to him and I started praying. And together, her and I are coming together, trusting God. And we're praying about this. And we're not letting the enemy overtake us, because in every situation in life, we got to remember every action has a reaction. And a lot of people say, I can't help it. I don't believe that. We have the ability to make a choice. If we start to escalate in anger, we can stop, rebuke Satan, and start to pray or pick up the word and read it. We, many times, are our own worst enemy and bring defeat into our own lives. And that's something I want to encourage people listening. I know this right now because even walking my mom outside at the hospital and I would see tears start to flow down her face, I would grab my beautiful mama and I would start to pray. And we would pray many times for 45 minutes this week. And her demeanor changed, the atmosphere changed, and we felt the power of God. And people see that strength coming forth in her. And God has given me that strength. He's given me peace. I know she has a road ahead. God knows what's ahead. But we've entrusted every aspect of the situation to him. Right now, we have a choice to get angry and want to holler at God, to let it oppress us and depress us. My mom had cancer spoken into her life. Her mother died to cancer around the same age as she is. But my mom, we have chose to, the doctor said, that her tumor is the size of a grape. So we have decided to take away that nasty name of cancer and tumor. We have called it her grape. And when we're talking about it, we say we're going to, that God has got this. This is our journey of faith. and that grape is going to be squished. And that's what we're doing.
And it's
going to
be the new wine.
Yes, ma'am, that's what I was going to say. And we don't want to give the enemy power. If you start speaking defeat, or you start letting him see fear, or you start speaking out things, or if you even mention things about taking your life, you are opening a very dangerous door. The Word of God teaches us that we are to speak life. We're to speak life to our children, to our spouses, to our loved ones. Our words can truly impact a life. It can make or break a life. We could be the difference in someone choosing to take their life or possibly feel like they have a purpose to live because of something we say. And many times people's problems, like what your guest has, does stem from their youth, because my husband himself has been there. You know, and many times they have worthlessness spoke on them so much that they truly start to believe that in all aspects they're of no worth. When you hear that over and over from your childhood, and you're never going to amount to anything, and you have no, that's a lie of the enemy, and he uses people to tear people down. But I want to encourage everybody listening tonight. God created you with a purpose and a plan. He wants to fulfill that purpose in your life. God don't make no mistakes. God don't make no junk. He makes masterpieces. And when he created you, that's what he created. Because each and every one of us are a unique masterpiece created by the Father's own hands. Don't ever let the enemy lie to you and tell you you are of no worth. Something else that many people don't lie or know about, and it's another great lie the enemy is, and it's one of the Ten Commandments that thou shalt not kill. Whenever you take your own life, you're committing self-murder, because that's not God saying, okay, it's time, your time is done. That's you taking control over a life that actually belongs to him, and that's really powerful and deep when you think about that. And we will have to stand before the judge seat before, you know, one day for. We've got to learn to tap into his power, know that we're not alone. And I really want to encourage people. I'm extremely exhausted. I've been back and forth to the hospital for over a week. I've heard of the diagnosis. I was there by the phone when the doctor told my mom or my dad about the tumor. I've seen my mom go through her denial, her fear, everything. But right now I've seen the hand of God move in her. And she's chose to overcome this. And that is the biggest battle. When you get it in your mind, I got this. God's got this. Say that. God's got this. That's when you're going to get the victory. When you start saying, I can't do this. I don't want to live. I'm of no worth. Okay, you're giving the enemy all kinds of darts to throw at you. And he's going to start to kick you because he's going to see you're down. Start standing up and claiming the victory in your life. Say, I'm of worth. I'm the son or daughter of the Most High King. I'm an heir to a throne. God created me for a purpose and a plan. Ask God to reveal that plan in your life, and he will. I just know that there is supernatural healing through him. I know there is strength with him, because the first couple of days we found out this diagnosis about my mom. Believe you and me, I'm human. That's my mom. I wept. I was angry. I went through every emotion you could possibly go through. Everyone in our household did. But I went to God because I knew what the enemy was going to try to do. He was going to try to oppress my mom. He was going to try to depress. And I didn't want that to happen, and not even in my own life. God has given me a strength to be there for my mom. She's not satisfied unless I'm right by her side, because she knows my faith. And her and I together, with God leading us through the Spirit and prayers of others, my mom's going to beat this. My mom's going to have that grape squashed, and her life's going to be a testimony to encourage others. It starts in your mind, and you have a choice in every situation in life. You have free will to make a choice. And when you make
that
choice,
we can either say, I'm going to die of cancer and I'm hopeless, or we can stand on the Word of God, which I'm standing with you and your mom, that by his stripes she is healed. That's why it's important to know the Bible and read it, so when Satan comes to your mind and tells you these lies, you can say, it is written, like Jesus did when he was tempted in the desert. We got to stand in faith. And I have faith God is going to heal your mom in a mighty way. And she's going to be a beautiful testimony that God is not dead. He is alive and on the throne.
Amen. And her and I are going to write a book together, and it's going to bring hope to people. And we're keeping track. I even started a page, Maurice Pryor's Journey of Faith, on Facebook. because I have to catch up. But I've been keeping track of things because I've been there every second of every minute. But I want people to know that we're going to go through the darkest hour. We're going to have words like cancer spoken to our life. Divorce, it might be finances. There's things that it might possibly be. But know that with God, we can do all things. His word tells us nothing is impossible with him. He never said that we wouldn't go through. Jesus Christ himself was blameless and perfect. But look what he endured. He endured and took the cross, all of mankind's sin upon his back. But we know that death couldn't hold him, and he had victory. He rose on the third day, and he sits at the right-hand side of our Father, and he intercedes our prayers. Do people really realize how powerful that is, that Jesus Christ himself intercedes prayers for us unto our Father? Keep praying without ceasing. Don't stop praying. And I'm telling you what, when I showed my mom all the prayers going forth for her on Facebook and from my friends, let me tell you, that brought encouragement to her. And some of the prayers were coming in confirmation. I love how God confirms things through prayers. It is so beautiful and powerful how when God would bring a word to she and I, we're praying in the hospital and we're going through things, God will bring a word forth. And then someone else, another brother or sister, confirms it. I even had a vision in the hospital, and the Spirit of God was talking to me. I'd been praying over my mom for over 45 minutes, laying my hands on her stomach in faith, because the Word of God even tells us to gather the elders of the church in James chapter 5, anoint their heads with oil, and to pray the fervent prayer for them. They'll be healed. I know people have
and
been healed.
And that is so true.
I know.
You told us that over Bill months ago, my brother-in-law. They were going to pull the plug on him after 9 days on life support in a coma. The Lord told you to pray that prayer and anoint him, and within 4 hours, he was sitting up and talking. And the thing of it is, last night when I was coming out of a church meeting and was going back to my sister's house to get my car, he pulled up, and it hasn't even been a month, and he was on his way to go back to work, Montel.
That's
God
the power
is
of God, and I give
powerful.
All glory to him.
Yes.
We just be willing to be obedient and not be scared. It's like yesterday in a situation, and I believe that's something else God's going to do in the situation my mom and I are at, because we're going to be in places where people are going to need encouragement. They're going to need hope. They're going to need light being brought forth. You know, when my mom's going to the places wherever God is put in front of her, we have faith. He's already picked the right doctor. He already knows the right treatment. We have enough faith that when we go to the doctor, that they can go down there and say, what are you talking about? There's nothing there, because that's the kind of God we serve. But we also understand, if not, God has a reason. It's not him that brings these things upon us. It's the enemy. It's a lie and the attack of the enemy. But we know what the devil means for evil, that God can make it good. And that's what our family is holding on to. We're not going to accept defeat. We're not going to go around and my mom's living life. Her and I praise God every day that she's in the hospital. We declare his greatness. When I get up in the morning, even driving to go see her, I declare his greatness. And I tell God, I'm not angry at you, because God didn't do this to her. That's what the enemy does. God has the power to turn it around, and he is able. And many times, it's through our faith that he works. And if we have faith of a mustard seed, he can move mountains. And we truly believe God's got this in control. And my mom's roommate that was one door up from her, yesterday, my mom and I were walking the halls, and we already knew what it felt like to hear this kind of diagnosis. His family was surrounding him. The doctor was sitting in the chair, and he told that man, we heard him telling him he had cancer. Later that day, I'd taken my mom out for a walk. We had a beautiful tree at the hospital we would go sit and pray under. Sometimes you just need to be still and know he's God, or get away to yourself and shut yourself on this big, beautiful tree. I even put a picture on Facebook. And we would sit out there and we would pray and we would raise our hands to God and we would feel him show up. And as we were coming back in, my husband and my mom, that family passed me. And I asked that family if I could pray for him. I said, I know you were just diagnosed with cancer. One of his daughters glared at me, was reluctant. She did not want to receive me. But he wanted prayer, and his other daughter agreed to let me go outside and pray for him. And I laid my hands on that man in front of everybody. People coming in, people going out, in front of his family that I could tell weren't believers. And the Spirit of God fell, and while I was praying for that man, his daughter began weeping. And when I seen that man today, he was very ill yesterday. I said, hey, Bill, how are you doing today? He said, I feel great. That man was just diagnosed with pancreatic, liver, and lung cancer. And today he had hope in his face, and I took time to talk to him again. Because I want to tell you something. When you go and you lay your hands on people and you're anointed and the Holy Spirit lives in you, it's not us ourselves, but God can surrender you surrendered vessels. He can work through us. And we can lay hands on the sick and they can be healed in the name of Jesus. And it's just like with oppression and depression. A lot of this does come from childhood and things spoke on people, but there is hope. And God is a deliverer and he can bring anybody out of that. It comes to a place of surrender, letting go and saying, God, you know what? I'm leaving it here and not picking it back up again. Every time you feel an onset of depression coming on, put on a worship song and praise God, or start to pray out loud. Just speak the name of Jesus because there's power in his name. Open your Bible like you were talking about and read scriptures. Know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And you are not alone. And I'm going to tell you something. I have such a peace. My mother does. The doctors, the nurses, everybody, they see it when they walk in the room. And they're all telling her, you're going to beat this, because they know that we have that faith. She's got the right mindset, and she's not going to let this overtake her. And that's half of the battle right there. And I have such a powerful peace in this. And that's what I want to encourage people in tonight. God is the way maker, and it comes down to decisions. And the enemy does like to lie. And everything you're sharing about is so true. So many people, so many teenagers wanting to take their life. So many things in this world that people are turning to. And they're still feeling empty and there's a void. Even people with all the money in the world, look at Robin Williams, will take their life because you want to know why? They haven't found the true answer. They haven't found the source, the true cure, the true healer. And that is Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I want to share that beautiful, I feel that led in my spirit. And I really want to encourage people. This is such a beautiful song Minister Darlene Morgan picked out. And it's called Don't Give Up on Me. And that song really makes me think of my mom, because I'll tell you what, I'm not going to give up on her. And I know God's not going to give up on any of us, that he's going to give us the strength to overcome, just like your guest. And you know, one of the other things I encourage people in, too, we're all going to fall short of the glory of the God. And, you know, even your guest tonight, just like he shared, he had setbacks a couple of months ago. He made wrong choices. But what I want to encourage him in is, don't let the past keep you from going to your future. That's in the past. When you bring it before God, he forgives you of it. Leave it in the past. Don't pick it back up. Forgive yourself. That is one of the things that gets people the most and keeps them held back. God forgives you when you ask. People need to learn to forgive themselves, and they especially need to know not to give up on themselves. And I really share this beautiful song right now, and then I'll come back and give it back over to you, Darlene, and I love the songs you picked tonight. They're uplifting. I got up, but I've been trying to get the broadcast together before I go to the hospital of a morning time with my mom. I was up at 5 o'clock this morning preparing tonight's broadcast and tomorrow's broadcast. And then I had to get my son and my husband to work and then had to take my dad for a colonoscopy at another hospital today. And it's just, so as you can see, my life has got a lot going on right now, but God is giving me the strength to endure all things, and in him I'm placing my trust, and I truly know that he's not going to give up on us. So I want you to not give up on yourself, and I want to share this song, Don't Give Up on Me.
Thank you.
I've been making a mess of everything in my life. It all makes sense in my head. Now it just don't seem right. I've been pushing away all the ones that mean the most to me. I thought leaving that town would help me find who I am, but I'm trapped and I'm more lost than I've ever been. Everywhere that I turn, the devil tries to take me down. But I can't stop now, there's only one way out. And this road ain't easy, so don't give up on me. Don't give up on me, yeah. I fall to pieces every time I see you. The enemy wants me to do, and I keep having this dream that I finally made it there, but it's not what I expected. I'm waking up scared, I hear the thunder, but I don't see the light anymore. But I can't stop now, and I won't.
Are you guys still connected with us?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I'm here. Another topic besides depression was anxiety. Anxiety is a feeling that nothing's quite settled, and it presents itself as worry. people worry about events in their lives and situations. It makes them fearful, and it sticks in their mind until it overtakes their life. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, like we said, you need to speak life over our situations like you are for your mother. When we speak doubt, Satan creeps in and gives us that depression and anxiety. But when we stand on the Word of God and speak the Scripture, he can't creep into our minds. So my suggestion for people, we need to develop a strong spirit. We need to stay daily in the Word. We need to study it and meditate on it. We need to stay prayed up daily and get to know the Father, not just read the Word, but after we read the Word, we need to be still and listen for God to talk to us and talk back with him. Not only do we need to read the Word, we need to be doers of the Word. A strong spirit makes a way for God to move. It'll take feelings of depression and anxiety away from us. If we're talking doubt and unbelief, we shut the door to the supernatural powers of God, and that's where Satan creeps in. Ephesians 6:10 tells us that we need to be strong in the Lord. We need to be empowered through the union with him. We need to draw our strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provide. We need to keep our mind focused on God so that we can keep Satan out.
Mm-hmm.
So many people today walk around to depress and speak sickness and speak their situations, and they don't get healed. But praise God, you and I are believers, and your mom's a believer, and we're standing on the Word. And you touched my heart so much, Montel, that I cried when you posted that you're not calling that a tumor, that you're calling it a grape, and you're going to squash it into the new wine. And it's going to be the wine of God. You're not going to let Satan take over and attack her. That touched me so much. That is a beautiful statement. And we all need to walk around and change the words that the doctors tell us and that Satan tells us and switch them around. Because for what the devil means for evil, God will turn it around and make it for good and make it a testimony for others.
Amen, amen.
How fitting. I was just looking up the very same scripture, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, when I was thinking about anxiety. That was a God thing.
We need Bibles back in our schools, and we need Bibles back in the military and Bibles everywhere. And people need to read the Word. And if people can't afford Bibles, there are so many places on the internet that you can get online and get Bibles. You could go to the dollar store. They sell Bibles for a dollar. I buy a lot of them there to give out to people. And if you're not into reading Bibles, pray. God does hear us when we call out to him. And the statement that we had on our study last night through church was, prayers that are not prayed are prayers that are not answered. God will not answer you and hear you if you're not calling on him and telling him what you need. We have not because we ask not. So again, we need to stay in the Word and talk to God and take time with him. And that's beautiful. You found that tree and stayed there and prayed and just listened to God and talked to God, because it's in the quiet times where we find him. So many people busy running around wanting to make the mighty dollar. They got to have the house better than the neighbor, the car better. They don't, their days just, their minds worry, worry, worry. I got to be better than this person. I got to have more than that person. They need to stop and look at the beauty of God. Stop and smell the flowers. Look at the trees. Look at the sunset. Last week, well, a couple weeks ago, when before they were going to pull the plug on Bill and you give us that word of God, I rode with Sarah to take her home to get her cell phone, and I looked up, and clear as day was the perfect shape of an angel in the clouds. And I never even said, Sissy, look at that angel. I said, look up there, sis. And she said, what, the angel? And then last night, another friend that was at our prayer meeting, she said, was that on this day a couple weeks ago? And I said, yeah. She said, I was driving down the road to look up and seeing the same angel. There is hope in the world. We just have to stop and take time and look at the beauty of God and look at the creation and know He is still alive, that He did raise from the dead. And what He did back then, He can still do today and tomorrow. We just have to have faith and believe that He is and that He can. That's where so many people fall short with their depression and anxiety. They believe, oh, that can't happen. Now that was 2,000 years ago. That was in the Bible days. No, God works today the same as He did yesterday, and He'll work the same tomorrow.
And, you know, a lot of people need to realize something. So many of them take things for granted. Just like I've been there where I couldn't eat or drink last year. I actually lost my ability. And I was going through a lot with my own stomach, and I went through a whole lot. So I know what my mom went through. You know, my poor mother could not eat or drink nothing for 7 months. And her head was constantly in a trash can. We take the gift of good health for granted. So many of us get wrapped up in things in this world. We truly do. We take that for granted. And people need to realize how precious of a gift it is, a blessing to have good health, because we could be someone like the man next to my mother that was diagnosed with cancer and three of the most major organs in this body. We need to take time and be a light. You know, don't be scared to be used of God, because He's going to know. Even though at the hospital, the one daughter didn't seem to want to receive me, you know what? He received me. And what a powerful testimony and way it would be to glorify God if God chose to heal that man supernaturally through prayers of a believer. Well, how would that testify to his daughters when they would know that that prayer worked? You know, God can work that way. Open yourself up to be used that way. Don't limit yourself and box God in. That's why when Jesus Christ was on the earth, He did everything in His Father's will. And He knew when His Father called Him to something, it was going to be done. He didn't doubt when He called Lazarus forth from the dead that Lazarus wouldn't come forth, and Lazarus came forth. He knew when He spit in the mud and He put it on the blind man's eyes that he would see again. He knew when He spoke life into the young man that he'd be raised up from dead. There's so many testimonies in the Bible, and I start to get worked up and wanting to preach, and I don't want to take up your time. But what I'm trying to say is that same power still flows from the throne, and it can overcome oppression and depression and anxiety in those moments. And I encourage your guests in that. When the enemy, and it's nothing but the enemy, tries to overtake your mind and empower you and speak words and lies, in that moment, one of the best therapies you're ever going to get is the Word of God. It is living. It is powerful. And when you get in that Word and you start tapping into the mighty power of God, rebuking that enemy and claiming victory over your life, the enemy's going to start to see he has no authority in your life, because there is name, a power in the name of Jesus, and he shrieks at the name of Jesus. And when you speak authority, they have to leave. It starts with a choice. God give us free will, and that's something else people need to remember in life. So many times, people, when things happen in this world, they're like, where's God in this, and where's God in that? And when you see people going out, killing innocent people, various things, God gave 10 commandments that he wanted his children to not do. God gave free will. If God wouldn't have gave us free will, we would be like his puppet on a string. Really think about it. He wants the choice we make to follow him to be on our own free will. And when people go out and they kill people and they take lives and they make those kind of choices, that's their free will. And they're going to have to answer to God for that. And there are many times we see angels have charge over that. There's a reason for everything that happens in life. And many times we may not understand, but people always want to point the blame at God. But in all honesty, it comes down to choices. We have free will to make a choice. If you're in a bad situation, maybe someone cut you off in traffic or is rude and bumped into you at a store, whatever it might be, you have a choice in that moment, or even in a relationship. If you keep speaking angry things to each other, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to escalate. It's going to get to the point where you're going to say things you can't never take back. You might push someone out of your life that you really love because of anger. That's one of the biggest tools the enemy uses. And the Word of God teaches us that anger stirs up strife, and God's not about strife. So just know every action has a reaction, and the choices you make in the storm are going to decide the outcome, because God really does work through our faith. And I truly believe something, and I feel this in my spirit so strong. It's horrible to say it, but I praise God that my mama was sick throwing up, and that my mama finally went to the hospital, because the type of cancer that they spoke on her life is a type that's very silent, and the stages of it, when it's to the end, is when usually they get the symptoms. But praise be to God that my mom's esophagus shut. I'm praising God in that, because had it not shut and she wasn't vomiting, you know what? They wouldn't have found it. But God brought that into the light. And I know that was a hand of God, because I've been doing a lot of research, and it says very rarely will it be caught before it invades other areas. Well, when the doctor talked to me, he told me it looks like it has not invaded any other areas. And I have seen the mighty hand of God right now, that he has engulfed that thing. I've been seeing the hand squishing it, diminishing it. And I know until she goes to the doctor, today she started to say, well, that's a little ways off. No, I said, no, Mom, what did God tell us? And he's got this. He's already made the way. And his hand is going to stay on that grape until my mom goes to the doctor, or if God chooses to naturally heal her and just squash it away. That's where I'm leaving my faith. I'm not going to let the enemy oppress me or depress me, and I'm going to trust in God, because he is the great I am.
Yes, he is. And you know what a beautiful scripture in the Bible that I love. Paul the Apostle struggled with discouragement and depression too, but yet he said this: through glory or dishonor, bad report or good report, genuine yet regarded as an imposter, known yet regarded as unknown, dying yet we live on, beaten yet we are not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making man rich, having nothing but yet possessing everything. Paul learned to see the good in everything and in every hardship, because he knew that the Lord was using each circumstance to transform him into the image of God. And we know, like you said, sometimes you got to go through to that image of God. And if God hadn't put them symptoms on your mom since February, that could have been a silent killer. I had a friend that my younger sister knew in school. He went to the hospital, thought he had a cold, and was in stage 4 cancer and died a week later. Your mom could have not been throwing up and not had nothing wrong and went in for thinking she had a cold or something, and a week later been dead. God knew what he was doing and brought that to the attention. And now, praise God, we're standing on the word for her healing. So sometimes when we think life's bad and that nothing is going to work out, again, the scripture says what the devil meant for evil, God can turn around and make for good. So we have to stand on the word of God and believe that he is, that he was and is to come, and that what he was yesterday, he's today and will be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to say something that I've never told anyone. I came across country, and I'd fallen in love with my significant other, and I was spinning a story that wasn't entirely true. And when I returned back to where I started from, and I was heading back this way, I looked across and saw a beautiful chasm, and I darn near turned my vehicle into the guardrail and took it off the road, because I felt so ashamed at not being truthful and dishonest, you know, and deceit was just eating away at me.
But no matter what your past has given you, you need to leave it behind and look to the hills where comes your help, because God can take away every hurt, and he can take away every pain. And he can fill your life with joy unspeakable and peace that surpasses all understanding. And in closing, I have a beautiful song by Casting Crowns. It says, who am I? Who are we that God would love us so much and be there for us? We're nobody, but yet God loved each and every one of us enough to spend that day being spit upon, broken and beaten till his flesh came off, dragging his own heavy cross after being beaten up that hill and hanging on that cross for over 6 hours when he could have called 10 angels to come down. He did it because he loves each and every one of us, regardless of your past, regardless of the hurts people have done to you. There is hope. God did not go through that excruciating death for nothing. He did it so we could have life and have it more abundantly. So when you have Satan coming in your thoughts and in your mind and in your heart, rebuke him. Call out to God. His arms are stretched as far as the east is from the west. He's ready to wrap them around you and to love you and comfort you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. There is hope in this hopeless, dying world. He says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. All you have to do is initiate that first cry into God and he will hear you. And again, in closing, Who Am I by Casting Crowns is a beautiful song. If you could play that, Montel.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. The calm the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
praise God, it is so wonderful that no matter what we've done or what others have done to us, we are God's. He loves us. He cares about us. And all we have to do is call him, and he will be there to comfort us. I hope this show helped someone tonight, and I pray everyone has a blessed evening. And our thoughts and prayers go out to your mom. We continuously pray and have faith in the Lord that she's going to be 100% totally healed and be a testimony to others that are fighting this disease called cancer. And I love you and pray you have a blessed night.
God bless you. And thank you for your prayers.
You have a wonderful night, sis.
You too. God bless all of our listeners. Stay encouraged. And remember what I shared earlier. You have great worth, created for a purpose and a plan. Have a purpose in your life. Don't back down when God is backing you up. And in our weakness, no, his strength will be made perfect. With him, all things are possible. I love you all, but God loves you more. May the rest of your week ahead be filled with faith and hope, knowing that God is with you and he will never leave you or forsake you.
Amen. Thank you.